Now, today commemorates the 140th anniversary of the battles of Isandlwana and Rorke's Drift. These historic clashes between Zulu warriors and the English army in the Battle of Isandlwana in the Anglo-Zulu War are really the subject of today's commemorations. And we're speaking to an interesting author by the name of Nomavenda Matiane. She's the author of Eyes in the Night, an untold Zulu story. And it tells the story of her grandmother, who was a child during the Anglo-Zulu War. Thank you so much for joining us on the program this afternoon, Nomavenda. How lovely to have you. I mean, we chose your book because it takes just a completely different perspective, brings a completely different perspective to a story that perhaps some of us have studied or our children have studied over the course of time. But we know the commemorations are continuing today. Many of us still don't know the background to this historical event. Could you just distill that very quickly for us, please?
I don't know if I can tell the background within 2 minutes, but, you know, the whole thing started long before 1879, when the English wanted the Zululand.
Yes.
And there were clashes between Lord Shepstone and King Cetshwayo, which culminated in the Isandlwana War, where the Zulus lost everything. Their cattle, their land, and the king was abducted. They lost everything. But my book is about the impact of the war on ordinary people, right, on women and children.
Yes, yes. And I mean, it's a fantastic story to tell, especially with such an epic backdrop behind it. But tell us how, because I know that you went back, you drew together the threads of oral history within your family in order to be able to tell the story and do a kind of reconstructed biography of your grandmother's life. How exactly would people like your grandmother have been impacted by this war-scarred landscape and what was left after the war was over?
I mean, to start with, my great-grandfather was the general of King Cetshwayo, and he died at war. So at the end of the war, my grandmother was without a husband. She came down from the mountains where she was hiding with her children, and she had no husband. She didn't know where to go to because where they used to live, the English had taken the land. So she was wandering around about in the field, not knowing where to go, until she was taken in by another Zulu clan, the Ngebesa clan. And, you know, after that, she had to deal with traditional and cultural issues, where her husband's brother wanted to take her as a second wife. And she wasn't keen on that. So she had to leave the Makoba homestead and once more wander around. And she ended up, my grandmother and grandmother's mother ended up staying with a man who was living in a farm. And the farm owner wanted to sexually abuse my grandmother. So the whole thing was just, it was just a tragedy after tragedy.
Yes, yes. Tell me, I mean, it can't have been easy putting this together. I did mention some of the oral history that you explored. What else did you do in piecing together the war and its consequences, particularly for a young woman like your great-grandmother?
Fortunately, my grandmother told my sister the story. And, you know, while I was writing, I actually said to my sister, I need to keep my granny's voice alive. I need to use her voice. But not only that, you know, Zulu people are good at oral history. So as my sister and I were going about researching, people were telling us stories so we could piece together or join the dots together.
Right.
It wasn't easy.
Yes.
But, you know, and what was even more difficult was translating from Zulu to English.
Mm.
Most of the incidents were told to us in isiZulu.
Yes, yes. I'm interested in your ideas on this. I mean, there's certainly a lot of merit in fact-based learning, especially of historical events of this nature. But novels seem to play a huge part in entrenching the details in a reader's mind and embedding them so that they're remembered long after you would have forgotten what was in your history notes at school. Is that the kind of feedback that you've had from having written this book?
More than that, you know, people come to me and they say, you know, the way I have written it, I've made sort of illuminated it.
Yes. And in terms of, I mean, are there any hopes that a book like this could perhaps be taught as part of the South African syllabus?
Well, it's part of the American syllabus. The New York State University has prescribed it for their students who are doing African studies. And here at home, I've sent it to all the education departments, and I've had no reply.
That really upsets me a lot. But thank you so much for speaking to us, and how forward-thinking of international institutions that see the value in a story and a book like this. Speaking to us there, Nomavenda Matiane, she's the author of Eyes in the Night.